This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, as we continue along here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, if the audio sounds a little different. I had to go into a different studio to finish the last hour here at Fox News before I head over to tape something, which I can't disclose, but it'll be on TV Saturday night. So, I mean, good luck figuring that out, right? Good luck figuring that out. What a day. What a crazy day. It's been a crazy 24 hours, actually. So tomorrow's my surgery. Tomorrow is the big day, so I'll be off tomorrow, and I appreciate all your thoughts, your prayers. Hopefully we're good, and hopefully they open me up. They find that there's no more staph infection, and they can just fuse my bone, give me some pain meds, let me be on my way. That's the faith I have in Dr. Malilly, the Cooper podiatrist, who, by the way, is not the guy who did the original surgery. If I had done it the right way the first time, I wouldn't be in this freaking mess I'm in right now. But anyway, that should be tomorrow. I mean, that will be tomorrow, and that's that. But I'll have a car taking me home tonight, and then I can't eat or drink after midnight, but I can promise you this. After we're done taping this show that I can't tell you about that'll be on Saturday night, there may be a bar involved. I'm just throwing it out there. Don't judge, but there may be a bar involved because that's how it works. But it's been a crazy 24 hours. I mean, yesterday with the White House broadcast, and then we had these amazing interviews. I jump on the train to Amtrak. DeSantis drops me off at Union Station. Then the train gets delayed going from Washington, somewhere between Washington and Baltimore, for like 2 hours. We're just sitting there on the train. Get into New York Penn Station. Get off the train. I get a text from Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, who says to me, "Hey, any chance you're still in D.C.?" And I said, actually, I just got to New York to do some Fox stuff. What's up? And she said, "Well, I wanted to invite you to the White House press briefing, the one that we
in played. Philly."
Yep.
Can I say Philly? In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You love Philly, go Eagles?
Excuse me, I'm from New England. I will never say that. You would have put a gun to my head and I still wouldn't say that.
Say how much your love is mean here on the show.
Okay. Hey guys, it's Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, and you're listening to The Rich Zeoli Show. Good?
Perfect.
Okay.
That was good. I think that was good. It was a little, the Indian Treaty Room where we were is not exactly the cleanest audio, but she did a nice job there. Anyway, so she says, I got a seat for you at the White House press briefing in the new media seat that they have. And I said, oh man, I would love to. Are you kidding me? And she said, don't worry, we'll do it another time. So we'll do it another time. But I just thought that was amazing that I got invited to do that. See, the first time around when the president was elected, I didn't hear from them until 2019. The new crew, I've already heard from them. It's only February. I've been at the White House already, and they've invited me back like 24 hours later. So that's good. I believe, I don't know for sure, but I think at one point we will have a one-on-one with the big guy himself, probably soon. But I got to, you know, first post recovery and stuff. But anyway, pretty cool problem to have. I was saying that earlier. I was like, this is cool. I mean, I'm in New York to do two Fox News hits, and I got invited to do the White House press briefing. And since the Fox News hit I did this morning, I spoke for a total of 38 seconds, I think. One could argue that I should have gone back to D.C., but then I would have had to come back to New York to do that other thing. It would have been planes, trains, and automobiles, and it just would have been nuts. Point is this, Zioli Army, good things are happening, right? Good things are happening for us. I appreciate you. I appreciate all you do to help promote the show, and that's good stuff. So there you go. All right, a bunch of other stuff to get to this hour. It's been a blockbuster of a show. It's been a blockbuster of a week. I appreciate you being here with us. The comments about Doge that I said this morning, I said, what are people most excited about? I think it's Doge. I really do. The cutting of the spending, it's our money. What President Trump said last night, he said, you know what? Maybe we'll give 20% back to the taxpayers. For me personally, I like that idea. It's our money. Give me back my money. I mean, I think everybody feels this sense of the House always wins, right? The House always wins, and they find ways to take our money and our cash. And now they're uncovering all this waste, all this abuse, all this fraud. So if they've got a chance now to return it to the American people, I say, great, return it to the American people. Use some of it to pay down the national debt, obviously. But no doubt about it, give it back to the people where it belongs. And I think President Trump saying that last night was a good thing. I like the notion of him recognizing it's our money. Just even the philosophy of somebody in the White House recognizing that it's not their money, that the federal government doesn't make money. We, the taxpayers, work really hard. We make all this money, and then we have to give it back to the government. We have to give it to, not back to the government, we have to give it to the government. And then they waste it. You know, they waste it in all this crap. I think it's nuts. So the fact that you even have a president who has a mindset of saying, yeah, you know what, we're going to give it to the people because it's their money and it belongs to them is a sea change. You know what I mean? It really is. It's a sea change from where we've been. With Democrat politicians who think that everything we work for in life, they get to take a piece of that. You know what I mean? They get to take a little vig and wet their beak. That's not how it should be. And if you can cut taxes, that would be wonderful. If we can get to a place where we can do that. Obviously, that involves Congress. I don't think anybody doubts that involves Congress. And when President Trump says these things and he says, hey, listen, we want to give money back to the taxpayers, obviously that's what his goal is. That's his goal. His goal is to be able to return money back to us. And I think that's great. And by the way, I ran into Secretary Turner today at Fox News at the coffee machine. How funny is that, by the way? It's just so funny. You never know who you're going to wind up running into. But there I was at the coffee machine, and I'm talking to this guy, and we're both going on about how we hate the coffee that they have in the green room, and it's the secretary. And I didn't even realize it at the time until I saw later that he was there. And I said, oh, wow, that's great. That's good stuff right there, you know? But there's a lot of this 20% dividend. I like this idea of a dividend. You know, like you get your credit card rewards, kind of like that. I like it.
Elon Musk is proposing potentially giving money to Americans based on what Doge is finding. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I love it. A 20% dividend, so to speak, for the money that we're saving by going after the waste and fraud and abuse and all of the other things that are happening. I think it's a great idea.
How much money do you think?
It could be a lot. I mean, if it's 20%, we'd give back a lot of money to the taxpayer. And also it would give an incentive for the taxpayer to go out and report things to us where we can save money.
Yeah, we're uncovering a ton of waste. And like I always say to you, it's not waste. If you're getting it, It's not waste for you. This is, by the way, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike, let him be the guy who helps you get that perfect smile that you deserve. They're wasting our money is one way to put it, but another way to put it, if you want to think about it, another way to put it would be to say that they are abusing our money. They're abusing our money, and they're doing things with our money that is so incredibly inappropriate. And like, let's take Ukraine, for example. Where is all the money? Where did all the money go with Ukraine? I think that's really the question that we're all trying to understand here, because Zelensky himself said that we don't know where all the money went. I mean, that's what Zelensky said. He acknowledges much that all this money that we've been sending over to Ukraine, we don't know really where it is. So that's exactly my point on this. That's exactly my point. But I'm very happy that we can get to a place in America where we can have, as a country, a mind shift that says this money is the American people's money. It doesn't belong to the government. Ever since they put in the progressive income tax under Woodrow Wilson, the worst human being the worst, you know, I hate him. I can't stand, don't even get me started on this guy. We've always gotten into this, into our heads, that it's not our money, that we work to then give it to the government to redistribute. Now, a conversation that I mentioned today on protecting Social Security and Medicaid, something that Howard Lutnick said today, and that I think is a key component in all this, because it's going to reassure the American people, and that's critical for consumer confidence, in my opinion.
First off, let's go through. I just want to make clear, we do not need to cut a single dollar from someone in Social Security or someone from Medicaid or someone in the government who actually deserves the money. Not a single dollar. And any Democrat who says the alternative is a nonsense. What we're going to attack is the waste, fraud, and abuse. So think of it now. So the idea, and it's kind of funny, it came from Madison Square Garden, because the deal was between me and Elon that Elon was going to cut $1 trillion from our expenses, and that I was going to drive revenue growth of $1 trillion from tariffs, from oil, and from getting rid of all the tax scams, which we can talk about. I mean, there's so many tax scams against the United States of America, it'd make your head spin. And that would earn us $1 trillion, not cutting a single person's benefits, not cutting a single person's deserve it. We're the richest country on earth. We can give people Social Security. Mm-hmm. But what we can have is, think about this, there are 6 million people who say they're over 100 years old receiving Social Security benefits.
That's insane. Look, I think that it's critical for consumer confidence to just ensure the American people that the Social Security and Medicare that they paid into is going to be there. If they really, if they felt like it was going to go away, for example, that would plummet consumer confidence, which would have an incredibly negative impact on the economy. But you also have to reduce the budget deficit. And that's why a 20% dividend to the taxpayers, you also put some of that money towards paying down the national debt. And people, and then that's how, as Howard Lutnick put it today. But then in addition to that, and if I had had more time on Fox News today, I would have explained the point about energy prices. Okay, you start getting energy prices down, you start doing that. Liquid natural gas, for example, Pennsylvania, key to this, just like I talked with yesterday with Secretary Burgum, then you're going to get to a place where, yeah, the economy is going to start booming again eventually.
Inflation ticked higher in January. I know you guys weren't in charge, but I'm curious to how much rope do you think you have on this issue? How long can it go before you really have to bring it down?
So I don't think it's a problem at all. I mean, because we're reducing the budget deficit, you're going to see interest rates come down. Because we're making moves like the Constitution Pipeline on the East Coast of the United States. Imagine, Governor Hochul's been blocking a pipeline that will halve the price of natural gas to New York and all of New England. So as those things come down, you're going to feel interest rates come coming down. We're going to pump more oil. The price of energy coming down. Constitutional pipeline brings down the price of gas. All these things drive down and counter any sort of inflation that's out there. You're going to see a much better economy.
Okay.
All right. But
okay, good. That makes me happy. Now, with the other great news today that Mitch McConnell is not going to seek re-election, but he's done. I mean, that's just the most amazing news ever. Goodbye, Mitch. Look, I've said this before. You do owe Mitch McConnell a debt of gratitude for getting President Trump's nominees through the Senate and onto the Supreme Court. Without that, the conservative Supreme Court we have right now would not exist. So absolutely give Mitch the credit he's due for that. But beyond that, he's a swamp turtle, and it's time for him to go. And he's been there way too long. He doesn't need enough. Get some new blood in there. So good. Good. But his work in the first Trump administration, shepherding Trump's Supreme Court justices through the process, getting them onto the court, was critical to redefining American history. And that's what his legacy, if you want to look at it from a positive perspective, should always be. Because now this Supreme Court, this Trump Supreme Court, with originalist, textualist, constitutional justices, have the power to reshape America to the way it was supposed to be, in which case it is a constitutional republic. The court is not acting as a mini legislature. And obviously, with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, returning issues like that to the states where it belongs, because it's not in the federal constitution, all of these things are critical. And eventually, this Supreme Court's going to decide the issue of birthright citizenship. You know, I've said this before to you. This is a no. Another federal judge blocked it, and maybe another federal judge will approve it. This issue will be decided by the United States Supreme Court. Just like the issue of whether or not a president can fire a member of the executive branch of government. Now, it's absurd that we're even having this conversation. It's absurd we're having both conversations. Let's just think about the two issues. Number one is birthright citizenship. This notion that it's even a question of whether or not, without a legal claim to the United States, you're automatically a citizen. But it is going to be decided by a Supreme Court case. They're going to look at that case from 1900 involving a Chinese immigrant who did have a claim to America. They're going to look at that case. But they'll ultimately decide it. And the second thing is, can a president fire somebody in the executive branch, or can Congress compel the president to keep somebody he doesn't want in his branch of government? Now, I think it's a no-brainer here. I mean, imagine if the president told Congresswoman Kat Kamik, you got to keep that dopey legislative aide, whatever his name is, on your staff. You can't fire that person, even though they do a terrible job. We would agree that that would be an overreach of the executive's power, would we not? Of course we would. So we would say that, and we would say that that's completely unacceptable. Now, the executive should not have the authority, the ability to be able to compel a member of Congress to keep on a low-energy staff member, just like Congress should not be able to compel the executive to keep somebody on who does not jive with the goals of his administration. You speak jive? Now, of course, the other big news of the day, we'll get to the LoveGov Andrew Cuomo in just a moment, but I think this is very, very important to think about this, too. Mm-hmm.
This is gold, Mr. Bond. All my life, I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. There is nothing you can talk to me about that I don't already know.
Now, wouldn't it be amazing if it turns out that after all that, that Goldfinger was actually a bureaucrat and that there is no money left at Fort Knox? There is no gold left at Fort Knox. He was never a Bond villain. He was just a bureaucrat. I'm just saying. I mean, that would not surprise me. But President Trump is going to Fort Knox. They're going to figure it out.
We're going to go into Fort Knox to make sure the gold is there. You know that. We're going to go into Fort Knox. Do you know about that? that bad bump.
Are they going to eliminate more national security positions, civilians there?
We'll see what happens. But one of the things we do want to look, I mean, we hope everything's fine with Fort Knox, but we're going to go to Fort Knox, the fabled Fort Knox, to make sure the gold is there. Gold isn't there, we're going to be very upset.
Goldfinger would have taken it because he just turned out to be just a useless bureaucrat. That's the bottom line right there. Now, look, this is about ensuring... No, but of all the gatekeepers in Washington who did not look out for the waste and the fraud and the abuse and then just allow this to occur, allow this to happen, is because the mindset is it's not really their money. It's, you know, and then they don't feel like they're stewards of the American people's money. They think it's theirs. Let me rephrase. They think it's their money, not your money. They think they're entitled to it. And so it doesn't matter to them. They don't feel a stewardship to the United States of America, to the taxpayers who pay for everything. They just don't feel that. And that's the bottom line. And if you can understand that thinking of the left and the bureaucracy, then you understand why this is so important for all of us to push back on. All right, we're going to talk a lot about J.D. Vance, what he had to say at CPAC today. Kash Patel, so much more to come on the show. It's our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. I'm glad you're here today. And yeah, tomorrow off for surgery, but don't worry, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Who's even in tomorrow? We don't even know. Well, why don't we... This is where things I don't understand. We can't pull up the show sheet and figure this out. Is this one of those things we can't pull up the programming schedule? I mean, it seems like we have a programming schedule for a reason, right? See, they're not even paying attention. I know they're not even paying attention. I know. Don't worry about it. I'll do it myself. I have it in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers. That's right. Should have been at the White House today. It's not on the list. It's not. I can't believe I turned down the White House press briefing. Can you? I can't believe it. It says Opelka, but then Opelka told me he's not in for me tomorrow. So I don't know what's happening. We'll figure it out. It'll be a surprise mystery fill-in host on my own show. All right, we'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold.
Well done, Justin. Well done.
Beckons you.
Going to Fort Knox, baby.
Web of sin. But don't go in.
Of course, you know, you could also make the argument that Austin Powers Gold member, which I think was the least funniest of the three, but you know, I love the Austin Powers movies too. The problem is, I'll tell you what happened. So James Bond movies were fantastic. Sean Connery was outstanding, right? And then they got goofy. They got, I mean, Roger Moore's take on the character, and it probably wasn't his fault. I think he was a good Bond, but the studio went in a goofy direction, and then they had the just explosive Pierce Brosnan action, James Bond could, it was over the top explosive action for cinemas. Whereas if you go back to the Sean Connery Bond movies, Bond had to use his brain more than high-tech weaponry. And it jumped the shark, which enabled Mike Myers to come up with the Austin Powers parody, which was really making fun of James Bond and all the villains. You know, and the whole scene with Goldfinger where he's got the laser going down, you know, this it's like, just kill him. You know, remember the scene where his Dr. Evil's son, Scott, was like, just shoot him. Just kill him. Just take him in the back and shoot him. But anyway, then they reset the franchise with Daniel Craig, with Casino Royale, which went back to the notion of Bond having to actually use his wits versus high-tech weaponry, although he still had a great car. You know, because you got to have the car, right? You can't have Bond without the car. But so, there's that. John Stewart gave a warning to the left, which I think is important. And why would I bring up John Stewart? Because the left screaming fascism about everything Donald Trump does. I got to tell you, man, you know, he gave a 13-minute chat on Air Force One to the press last night. 13-minute chat. Just came out and just answered questions. Unscripted, 13 minutes. Fascists don't do that. Fascists just don't have all this accessibility to the media. Like, again, today, what we saw, you know, the questions that he took today. I mean, it's the same thing. Fascists don't do that, but the problem with the left has always been that they're always overblown with their critique. And if you yell fascism at every time, eventually people just stop believing you.
Are saying that you're being light on the fascist message recently.
Oh, I tell my critics, shut up. You're a fascist. No. So I do appreciate that because I understand the desire, but like, I'm very big on, and I know it's annoying, but specificity and nuance. And I think if you cry fascism at every administrative overreach, even the ones that are constitutionally okay, you will find yourself out of fascism bullets when the time really comes to remind people of, because you will, I think what the media has done over the last 10 years is cry wolf to the point where they numbed everybody. It was an anesthetic. And it got to where, what was the thing they litigated throughout this campaign? He's a fascist. He's a terrible person. Democracy is on the ballot. Guess what lost at the ballot? If you told us democracy is on the ballot, well, democracy got its ass kicked by majority vote. So I'm very cautious about when to know, like, yeah, hopefully I won't do it the night after Kristallnacht. I'll get it, like, but it's like, when do you put your dog down? Like, it's one of those things, like, you're not quite sure. But I do understand how annoying that is.
The Democrats are playing the same playbook they've always played, which is, if Trump's for it, we're against it. And they yell the fascism word and they scream fascism all the time. Right? They scream fascism. They're already outraged over what J.D. Vance had to say to young men today. They're outraged over this idea of, be a man. Step up for manlyhood, manliness, masculinity. Oh, toxic masculinity is back. They're already outraged over that.
My message to young men is, don't allow this broken culture to send you a message that you're a bad person because you're a man, because you like to tell a joke, because you like to have a beer with your friends, or because you're competitive. It's... Our message, the cultural message, and I think the president's and mine is the exact opposite, but our cultural message is, I think that it wants to turn everybody, into whether male or female, into androgynous idiots who think the same, talk the same, and act the same. We actually think God made male and female for a purpose, and we want you guys to thrive as young men and as young women, and we're going to help with our public policy to make it possible to do that.
Good, like making sure that men can't be in women's locker rooms and compete against women and all those other things. But I think the message to young men is important. As a father of a young man, my son is 10 years old. Patrick is 10. And the idea of him growing up to be a strong man, what does that mean to me? As I describe it to him, I tell him all the time, number one is perseverance. I don't mean in this order, but I mean, you know, perseverance, not giving up, pushing back when you're down. I think that is a lost art in some ways. This idea that if you don't get success right away, you give up. And our society in many ways says that. Well, you didn't succeed. So whereas I believe failure teaches you a lot of lessons. So perseverance is a big part of it. I also believe that being a strong man means protecting women. I do. I believe that. I believe it means, you know, you protect your sisters. You protect your mom. When I'm out, I tell Patrick all the time. I say, buddy, you're the man of the house now. When daddy's on the road, or when daddy's getting one of his many surgeries, you are the man of the house. And that matters to me, too. And I tell him, I want you to make sure all the doors are locked. I want you to make sure the alarm's on. I want you to do all those things. Take the trash out. Help your mom. Do all those things. I want him to be a strong man. And part of that, in my opinion, is protecting women. And that doesn't mean that it's because I believe women are subservient to men. I just believe that a good, strong man shows that respect, opens the door for them. Chivalry is not dead, in my opinion, nor should it be. Opening the door, standing up for a woman when she walks in the room, those things are respectful and should be done. And by being a strong man and protecting women, it also means that you don't do the things that the left has accused, wrongly, men of doing to women in their goal to try to say there's toxic masculinity. Sexual assault, rape, things like that. You don't do those things because you respect women. You protect women. And as far as being a man goes, you also understand that it's perfectly fine to be a chop-busting buddy with your buddies. That's another thing, too. Guys, I say this all the time to people. If you know I like you when I bust your chops. When I don't bust your chops, that's when you got a problem. I mean, my closest friends, we bust chops all of the time. All of the time. So, that's what I'm saying. Rooney's in tomorrow. So, there you go. Oh, nice. All right. Rooney's in for me tomorrow. He does a good job, Matt Rooney. He does a really good job. Good. That makes me happy. He always does a great job. All right. As we continue along here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So I think that matters. I do. I think the masculinity matters. And there's also a great poem that it's called If. You probably know this poem, right? By Rudyard Kipling. And I love this. To me, this is inspirational. Something that I share with my, you know, my son. I do. I mean, I tell him this, and I think it's in my life in particular, this poem resonates with me in a very special way. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools, If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. Perseverance, right? Losing everything, taking risks, perseverance. And this part is particularly resonant with me. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I love that. It resonates with me. I mean, especially because I particularly walk with kings quite often, as you know. Kings being presidents. No, I'm just saying. I think humility is a big aspect of that, too. I think also being a man is being humble and recognizing that success and failure are both imposters in the sense that they don't define you. You should not be defined in life by your success or by your failure, but by the character of the person you are. And for men in particular, young boys, I mean, they've had a hard time of understanding what it means to be strong. And I'm happy to hear J.D. Vance say that today. I really am. I'm very happy to hear him say that. And that's why I tell my son all the time, you look out for your sisters. You protect your sisters. If you're at the playground and they're at the playground, even if mom and dad are there, which we always are, but you look out for them. You know, if somebody's saying something mean to your sister, you stand up for her. You do the right thing. You always do the right thing in life. It's very, very important. It's character that matters more than anything. All right, we got more to say here on our fourth and final hour as we continue along the show. Action-packed show, jam-packed show. Don't go away. All right, before I get out of here and go proceed to do that top secret Fox News taping that I can't tell you about that will air Saturday night, I just wanted to mention to you, Rooney will be in tomorrow doing surgery. Just said that, right? Yeah, I can't keep track. It's been a long 24 hours. Can you believe I got invited to the White House press briefing today? And I had Fox Hits in New York. I mean, this is great for us, Zioli Army. This is great. Either that or I'm still in a coma at Cooper and dreaming all this. I don't know. And I may be one tomorrow. Who knows? Nah, it's going to go fine. Everything will be fine tomorrow. It'll be good. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that I learned today that on March 1st, Andrew Cuomo, the love gov himself, is going to be announcing his run for mayor of New York City. I love this. I love this. Are you kidding me? Bring back the love gov. Oh, the show will be great. Look, over the years, we've had a couple of different characters, Megaphone Bernie, the Love Gov, Newly Finchley, His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. But during COVID, the Love Gov's daily briefings, and then, of course, going on with the lesser Cuomo, his idiot brother, really, really helped us get through COVID-19. I mean, it was the defining thing that helped us survive the pandemic. Am I right? And many, many years ago, we came up with this little ditty here that I love. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. You know it. You feel it. You sing it with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dolls. Nipples pierced, not tattooed.
That's true. It's true.
His hot ex cooks delicious food. Oh, Dove is a bachelor, you know. All the chicks want to kiss Cuomo. The Love Gov, Mario's dreamboat Italian son. The Love Gov, not Chris Cuomo, the lesser one. It's Gov.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. The Love Gov returned. The Love Gov cometh. You're excited. I'm excited. We're all excited by this, are we not? Somebody told me the other day that they were, I forget. I guess we were talking about when he was reading the menu of all the things you could eat and couldn't eat in New York City, like chicken wings. You could have six chicken wings. It'll be great to have him back. The reason why he's running, of course, is because Eric Adams is embattled, and Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, wants to remove Eric Adams as mayor because she feels he's too close to the Trump administration. Now, you know, interestingly enough, in Philadelphia, Larry Krasner announces re-election, and Krasner is basically pulling an Alvin Bragg. Like, he's running to do this as to save America kind of a thing. No, legitimately, that's what he said. He said, quote, "Here's the reality. We are going to win. This is like a disease. The fever is going to break. And when that fever breaks, we're going to be there to make sure this country continues on its course." Krasner, of course, the guy who announced that he was going after to try to find a way to charge January 6th individuals who were pardoned by the president. If he could find a way to charge them on the state level, he would, you know. The guy who clearly has no respect for the double jeopardy clause of the Constitution. And since there was no insurrection, and there wasn't one anyway, but I mean, there was no quote unquote insurrection in Philadelphia. I mean, maybe the Eagles parade, there was a couple of people climbing the poles and whatnot, but anyway, but the Love Gov would be fantastic for New York. Now, what he's going to run on is crime, and he's going to run on garbage. No, really. I mean, like cleaning up the trash. But Eric Adams, the minute he came out against the Democrat Party many, many years ago, when he said, we can't keep having 10,000 illegal immigrants coming to New York every day, it'll destroy this city. That's when the Biden Justice Department charged him. And the Trump Justice Department, rightfully so, has said, we're not pursuing charges on you. I mean, theoretically, they could in the future, but they're not going to now. And that ticked off Hochul, who then came out and said, we're going to go after Eric Adams. Mayor Hochul's also angry because she put him. This really affects you if you're in North Jersey and you drive into New York City, congestion pricing. And His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, screamed about this. And ultimately, the useless two New Jersey senators, Andy Kim and Cory Booker, persuaded the Trump administration to block the congestion pricing. So that's on hold right now. And Governor Hochul is saying, well, we're going to sue the federal government because they have no right to tell us we can't institute congestion pricing. Now, the question, of course, of whether or not the federal government has authority over this under the Interstate Commerce Clause is an interesting question for the courts, because somebody asked me that question, too. They said, well, does the federal government really have authority here? And whenever these issues come up between states, the federal government always cites the Interstate Commerce Clause and says, for the good of interstate commerce, we, the federal government, can overstep here when we're talking about state lines and transportation and those sort of issues. But it'd be an interesting case to watch. But either way, that'll play out. But Cuomo, the Love Gov, he'll be back. And he already put out his Valentine's message the other day. And, you know, I've been meaning to get to this, too. I've been meaning to get to Cuomo's Valentine's message, because this is a guy, I mean, do you get any better than Cuomo when it comes to his shameless pandering and his ego? Is there anyone more? I mean, during COVID, the nursing home killer, and that's what I called him, the nursing home killer, he came out during COVID and was a hero, even though he killed, I mean, literally all these people in nursing homes and got away with it. And I just, I mean, to me, it's like, how does this guy, how is Cuomo able to get away with all this crap? You know what I mean? How's he able to do that? But he's got the ability to charm people, and I guess when you grope them in the elevator, I guess that doesn't hurt. This Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day!
Look at all you hotties.
I missed you.
I want to touch you.
I was speaking to a woman this morning.
Oh, shocking.
And I said, how are things going? And she's
shocking that you were talking to a woman. I mean, I'm just saying. We're all shocked by that, Gov. We're all shocked by that.
It's frightening out there on those streets today. And I thought about it and I said, you know what? Yes, it's frightening out there on the streets. But we have been through this before as New Yorkers.
Oh, could you imagine him back? Could you imagine him back? We've been through this. I know it's frightening on the streets, particularly when I come up behind you and grab your butt cheeks. It's terrifying for all of us, but we have been, and he's so dramatic too. You know what I mean? He's so dramatic. We New Yorkers will rise up. We're going to rise up. Let's keep going with this.
We've seen the ups. We've seen the downs.
Oh, we've seen your ups.
We know how to make this city work and make this state safe for everyone. And that's exactly what we're going to do. This country is in a crazy period. But remember who we are. We are New Yorkers. We are New York cops. And we know how to fight back and protect ourselves. And we know how to protect you. And we will. Because at the end of the day,
at the end of the day,
what they are selling will not work. The strongest four-letter word is not hate.
The strongest four-letter word begins with an F, and I can't say it in front of you broads, but I think you know where I'm going with this, am I right? So let me try to say this. That four-letter word is not hate.
The strongest four-letter word is love.
Love.
And that's what today is about.
That's what I am. That's who I am. I'm the love gov. That's who I am. Love. And by the way, it's not a four-letter word. It's a three-letter word. It's L-U-V. I'm just saying. It's love. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's who we are. The love gov. That's who I am. That's at the end of the... Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, if that doesn't make me happy, right? I mean, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what's going to make you happy in life. But the return of the love gov. Oh. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Say it ain't so. All right. Listen, have a great rest of your night tonight. Enjoy it. Have a great weekend. And I will talk to you very soon. I'll be back on the show Monday, God willing. All goes well tomorrow. I think it will. We'll be back on the air Monday. And tune in Saturday night, Fox News, Saturday night with Jimmy Failla at 10 p.m. I hear he's going to have an amazing panel, a great panel, the best panel we've ever seen, because a four-letter word for panel is the only on that panel, maybe, allegedly, I don't know, I can't say, but I would tune in, set your DVRs, Saturday night, Fox News, Saturday night, we've had our ups, we've had our downs, we got a bada bing, bada boom. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.